Blog Talk Radio.
From the Boomer and the Babe studio at the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's time for Keeping the Boom in the Boomer with Dr. Melanie Lane. Dr. Lane and her guests will discuss how to keep the boomer population young, vital, and living longer. So now here's the host of the show, Dr. Melanie Lane.
Good morning. This is Dr. Melanie Lane of Zing Living, where I educate, inspire, and empower people to create and actually live healthier lives. Welcome to my show, Putting the Boom in the Boomer, a show dedicated to helping baby boomers enjoy their senior years to the fullest by maintaining excellent health. This morning's guest is family dentist Dr. Sharon Bader. Dr. Bader studied dentistry at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. She has been in practice for 15 years, and she presently practices full-spectrum family dentistry at Lake Pleasant Dentistry in Peoria, Arizona. As a routine part of her practice, Dr. Bader cares for the dental needs of seniors, making her highly qualified to speak to what we can expect from our teeth as a normal part of aging, and also the warning signs of serious disease. Welcome, Dr. Bader. Thank you for being on my show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm always curious about why people choose the careers that they do, and I'm wondering what sparked your interest in dentistry.
When I was in middle school, my best friend's mother was a dentist. Every time I went over to their house, they would give me a steak for dinner.
Uh-huh.
I always thought that steak was so big. So in my family, one steak fed the whole family. From that time on, I decided I was going to be a dentist. The doctor's name, Dr. Rose Smith, she encouraged me, and every time she saw me, she said, "Hey, Sharon, are you still going to be a dentist? How are your grades? Are you doing well?" So I guess I had a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
From then on, since I was 12 years old, I decided I was going to be a dentist.
That's a wonderful story. So you wanted to be sure that you could have that steak as often as possible.
Yes, which I don't really care for anymore.
Isn't that interesting how things evolve?
Yes.
So what was your training like at Ann Arbor?
Ann Arbor is a beautiful little town, and the school, of course, it's very tough. It was rigorous. I lack sleep, but I really, really enjoyed it. From the day I walked in there, I was smiling from ear to ear until the day I left. I have the greatest respect for my professors, and I'm just so grateful I chose this career.
I've always been curious about the curriculum for dental training. What's that like?
It definitely includes didactic, which you have to study the background like chemistry and physics, physiology, anatomy. So you definitely get a background. You get like a scientific background.
Mm-hmm, physical sciences.
And then in addition to that, you have to build up your skills to fix the cavities properly so that you don't hurt people. And then after about 2 years of doing that, we get to go on the clinic floor, and we start off slowly by injecting each other
mm-hmm.
and cleaning each other's teeth. But then we move up to the patients who would let us.
Yeah.
And then eventually we start seeing our own patients for roughly about 2 years.
Uh-huh.
We're on the clinic floor. We do most of it on our own, and we just have the professors come and check at certain checkpoints.
Mm-hmm. So, well, thank goodness for those brave souls who are willing to let us learn on them, because certainly in medical school, same thing. Yes, they would allow us to examine
yes.
them, and I was always very grateful for their patience.
Yes.
So I have a personal question about dentistry. I have always been very anxious about going to the dentist. I don't really have any bad memories per se, but something about doing dental work just makes me really nervous. And I wonder what you would say to the person like me who just gets really freaked out about going to the dentist and maybe uses that as an excuse not to go.
Well, like anything, we know we have to exercise. It's good for us. We don't want to do it. We have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's a very, very common feeling. I think maybe 9 out of 10 people who come into my office feel this way.
Okay.
I recommend getting a good night's rest before the appointment and use any little tricks you have to help you relax. If it's deep breathing, blow raspberries, make funny jokes, whatever you could think of to just blow it off and make mm-hmm. it a fun time for yourself. Sometimes I tell my patients if they're worried about the pain, they can take 2 over-the-counter ibuprofen or 2 Tylenol about a half hour before the appointment.
Okay.
That way when they come in, if we clean their teeth or we have to do a filling, the post-operative pain is reduced.
Okay.
There's also different things available. We have laughing gas, sometimes injections that you get from the dentist's office. It contains epinephrine and it can make you nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So you may request not to have epinephrine in your injections. It increases your heart rate, so you just feel nervous, and that's the feeling many people don't like. If none of these things work, you're not comfortable at the dentist's office, you're really, really fearful, then you can seek out a dentist who provides IV sedation or conscious oral sedation.
Mm-hmm.
And altogether, if you come in frequently, the problems are fewer and less severe.
And I think that's a really excellent point to underscore. Just like with any other health condition, the more involved you are in your preventive care, the more likely you are to avoid an uncomfortable or expensive outcome down the road.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And something else I've noticed when I've been coming to the dentist, it seems to me over the past few years that you're doing more in the exam. It's not just checking my old fillings and checking me for cavities. I'm noticing that there's a more thorough exam going on. What kinds of things are you looking for when you examine my mouth and my neck?
We check for lumps or swollen lymph nodes in your neck. And these things can indicate an infection in your mouth, either due to a tooth or your gums, or it can indicate oral cancer or a goiter or sometimes thyroid swellings. We also check inside the mouth. We check the tongue, the floor of the mouth, the lips, and the throat, because we're looking for anything that could be bright red, white, black, anything unusual. Because these things can sometimes indicate some oral cancer or other tumors.
Mm-hmm.
We also check for cavities, as you said, and the gums, because the gums, if the gums are infected, we can get tooth loss.
So can we have an infection in our gums and not be aware of it?
Definitely. That's a really common thing, because many times, most times, I would say, when you have an infection in your gums, there's no pain. You have no idea it's going on until the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple days of the life of the tooth, you start feeling some pain when you bite down or the tooth starts moving and it's just given up.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely.
And are there any warning signs that we should be aware of that would indicate to us that we have a gum infection since we don't have pain? Is there something we can look for?
First thing you look for is bleeding gums. When you brush your teeth
mm-hmm.
and you spit out the toothpaste, you see the toothpaste looking pink. That's not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is if you're noticing that your gums look a little shiny, a little red, your teeth might be looking longer. Sometimes people come in and they say to me, my teeth are moving. Many times if you have a gum infection, it can cause your teeth to move. Maybe not a lot, but slight movement.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all areas that you can tell if you have a gum infection.
Okay. And another question that I have, as you were speaking earlier about oral cancer and tumors, what mm-hmm. sort of risk factors would set us up for something like that?
Well, the surprisingly, it's not, you know, my uncle who smoked cigarettes, drank a ton of booze, and fell on the wedding cake. It's human papillomavirus now. We're finding a prevalence of human papillomavirus, and we're all open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be linking to oral cancer. Also, of course, if you smoke frequently and also drink alcohol, either or both, those are all risk factors for oral cancer. If you've had cancer in other areas of your body, you're also at risk for oral cancer.
Okay, so we need to be telling our dentist if we have a history of cancer of any kind?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I really didn't know. So even if I'm not somebody who chews tobacco or drinks heavily, I still need to be having my mouth checked for cancer as well. So
that's right.
Okay, very interesting. Well, as you know, we are speaking to baby boomers today, and one of the things that we often assume about aging is that we're going to lose all of our teeth and have to replace them with dentures. But I understand that tooth loss is not an inevitable consequence of growing older, and I'd like to know more about what we can normally expect from our teeth and gums if we take good care of them.
You can expect to have most of your teeth for the rest of your life. And the benefits are intangible. You get wonderful psychological benefits because you don't have to worry about your teeth. It's just one less thing to worry about. Social benefits, you can go out and meet people. As we're getting older, we need that social connection. And definitely the physical well-being. When you're healthy, you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there's still a percentage of us who will be edentulous, maybe not completely edentulous. That means missing teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So the statistics show in 2002, the oral health study showed that 54% of adults in the age group 50 to 59, which is now 60 to 69, have 21 or more teeth. That means there's 46% of adults who have less than 21 teeth. And the studies also show that once you start losing teeth, you continue to lose more teeth. There's a trend towards that. With people who are missing teeth, there's still some of us out there who are going to be missing teeth, but there's still lots of hope. If you keep the ones that you have, you can still have a very healthy and happy life.
Is there an advantage to having your own teeth versus dentures?
Definitely there's an advantage. You have to think of a denture or a partial denture as a prosthesis. So think, for example, if you had a false arm or a false leg. Let's look at the arms. Those prostheses that they put, they'll give you like a hook or a pincher. So it can really only do a couple functions, and it moves around maybe in one or two planes. The same thing with a denture. You have a denture in your mouth, and you cannot get all 360 degrees of rotation. You don't feel the same pressure, and you lose taste and feeling in your mouth because there's something fake in your mouth. Yes, there's an advantage to keeping your teeth if you can.
Okay, so really your own anatomy is the best.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, as you were talking, you know, it comes to mind, well, to prevent losing our teeth, we need to brush and floss. Are there medical conditions or medications that are associated with losing teeth?
Not necessarily. Most
okay.
of the reasons we lose teeth are periodontal disease.
Okay.
Or decay, or not getting the treatment in time. So there are no real medicines that would cause you to lose your teeth.
Okay.
They can lead, some of the medications that we take can lead us to have a dry mouth. And saliva, which makes our mouth wet, is a very important fluid in our bodies. Saliva contains little cells called macrophages, and those help to fight decay. They fight off bacteria that cause decay, and they fight off bacteria that causes gum disease. So when your mouth is dry, you lack those little cells, and your teeth are more prone to getting decay or gum disease.
So if you're on a medication that causes dryness of the mouth, are there things that you can do to improve that?
Yes. There are many different rinses that are available on the market. One of the most common brand name I can think of right now is Biotene. And they have a line of toothpaste, they have a line of mouth rinse and gum and all kinds of fun stuff. And basically, you have to keep everything clean because your saliva isn't there to help you keep it clean.
I see.
So you have to be brushing more frequently, flossing more frequently, and, of course, try to take in as much water as you can.
And as you're talking about medications that affect our oral health, I wonder, do you have an opinion about the research that has come out on the bisphosphonates, the Fosamax, and so forth? You know, we've heard, you know, that people that are immune compromised or, you know, people who are on chemotherapy or whatever may experience a breakdown of the jaw. Do you have an opinion about that?
Yeah, there's the JADA. There have been some recent articles in JADA, and which is the Journal of Dentistry, and there isn't a problem with Fosamax or the bisphosphonates. The problem that occurs is if you get an extraction while you're on these medicines.
Mm-hmm.
So what these medicines do is they inhibit the breakdown of bone. And when you get an extraction, your bone has to remodel to heal itself. So there will be some areas of the bone being broken down and, of course, some areas of the bone being built up. So with the bisphosphonate in your system, it prevents the bone from being broken down. And then we get an area of necrosis, which is like an infection. It's the dead bone not being able to be cleaned off.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to monitor those patients very carefully. If we do an extraction on them, we have to debride the area several times, make sure it's clean, put them on antibiotics, and make sure this area heals up properly.
So you wouldn't recommend that anyone go and stop their Fosamax or whatever because they're worried about their jawbone breaking down?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, the benefits of using the Fosamax far outweigh this problem, and this is something we can easily, as long as we monitor it and you have the proper care,
mm-hmm.
this is something we can easily help with.
Well, thank you for weighing in on that because I know that that makes a lot of patients really nervous. You know, with that sort of information coming out in the media the last few years, because, you know, certainly osteoporosis is a high-risk situation to be in, and so I appreciate you commenting on that. Now, we all know that we should be brushing and flossing our teeth every day, preferably multiple times, but a lot of us don't. And what's interesting and disturbing to me are some of the reports in the medical literature more recently in the last few years that are linking a risk of heart disease to poor dental care. And I'm thinking, who would have thought? But besides mm-hmm. the cosmetic appearance of our smiles, what other consequences might we incur from not taking good care of our teeth?
Poor oral hygiene can lead to cavities. You can get tooth pain. You can get chronic and acute head and neck infections. You can get gum disease. And, of course, you can get tooth loss. So, like you said, the researchers have found that people who have periodontal disease are twice as likely to suffer from coronary artery disease than those who don't have periodontal disease. And periodontal disease can also make existing heart conditions worse. There's also been some studies that show that periodontal disease is associated with strokes. So they seem to find that there is a relationship between oral infections and a risk factor for stroke. So people who are diagnosed with any kind of cerebrovascular ischemia, they are more likely to have an oral infection. So the key thing is here is consistent care of your teeth and your gums. If you have these problems, if you have heart disease, if you have a stroke, or you have risk factors for a stroke, just keep your teeth clean, brush and floss.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody has a stroke or a heart attack, one of their follow-ups, then one of their things they should be doing to take care of themselves is get in to see their dentist, which is not necessarily intuitive, but yeah. Okay.
Yes. That would be highly recommended. One of the other problems we can have from inadequate dental hygiene, like I said, you can have a tooth infection, which is like an abscess, and this can lead to space infections in your head and neck area. And these can go to infect your heart, or it can even get into your brain. So if you have an abscess, don't leave it alone. Make sure you get the care that you need, because these can be very serious.
Ooh, wow. So what are the most important things that we can be doing to keep our mouths healthy?
That's simple. Brush twice a day for 2 minutes, floss once a day, and see your dentist every 6 months.
And so, you know, something as simple as that seems to be difficult for a lot of us to actually integrate into our daily lives. What would you suggest to help us, get that flossing and brushing done every day?
Well, I have a few tricks up my sleeve, and I didn't learn this in dental school. I place my floss sticks all around the house. There's floss sticks on the windowsill where I'm doing my dishes. There's some on the kitchen table. There's some by the TV. There's a little drawer there on a side table. I put some in there. I have some in my sun visor in the car.
Wow.
I have some in my handbag.
You're serious.
So anytime I see one, I don't use it every, 10 times a day, but if I see one, I'll be like, I feel like using this. But just seeing it kind of makes you think about it.
Right.
And, stick one in your mouth. Use it. In addition to that, what I've found is I like to go to bed early. So I try to brush my teeth as soon as I'm finished eating dinner. Actually, I have to do the dishes and pack the dishes away in the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And so then I go straight with my kids, and we go and we brush our teeth and we floss. I don't like to wait till bedtime because then I just give up. I'm too tired. I'll do it tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you think about it, you'll be sleeping for 6 or 8 hours, and that's all that time you're spending with your teeth being dirty. So that is not a healthy situation. The other thing I like to recommend is to brush for 2 minutes, like I said, and electric toothbrushes. Just a simple rotary toothbrush, it brushes 8 times better than a manual toothbrush. I know some of my male patients, they like to hold that toothbrush and really give it a good scrub,
mm-hmm.
but it's not necessary. An electric toothbrush, you just guide it around your teeth, and it cleans thoroughly, and it cleans with the right pressure. Sometimes if you press too hard with a manual toothbrush, it can wear down the roots of the teeth because the roots are a little bit softer than the top of the teeth with the enamel on it.
Mm-hmm.
So rotary brushes, like I said, brush 8 times better than a manual toothbrush. And the sonic brushes, which many of us know of, those brush 20 times better than a manual toothbrush. So I would highly recommend that you invest in one of these toothbrushes
mm-hmm.
for a couple of reasons. Sometimes we get osteoarthritis as we age, and just being able to grip something and really be dexterous with it like a manual toothbrush, mm-hmm. it can be a chore. So I would recommend getting a sonic toothbrush or a rotary toothbrush, whichever you can afford, and it will help you with the grasp, and you can just guide it along your teeth so you don't have to have special skills and brush in certain directions. It makes it very, very easy.
That's an excellent point. Well, I have to say, it would be surprising if they didn't, but you know, for all of the tips that you just gave us, you have an amazing smile. You have amazing looking teeth. So all of your flossing and brushing is obviously paying off. So you get all the cosmetic benefits from that as well.
Thank you. Many times I see my patients and I notice the smile is not just the teeth. The smile comes from something deeper inside,
mm-hmm.
and when it comes out, the teeth help. Yes, it helps to bring it out, but if you don't have healthy teeth, if your teeth are hurting you, if you're missing your teeth, you can't express that feeling from in your heart when it comes out and you just have that joy and confidence. So I think teeth are very important. Of course, I'm in the business, but I think it's a little bit deeper than just the physical teeth. It's something very personal and something from deep within you.
Mm-hmm. Part of what allows us to connect to each other.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, for those people who are listening that live in the North Phoenix area, how can they learn more about you and your practice?
They can check my website. It's www.lakepleasantdentistry.com. They can give us a phone call and come in to meet us. And the number is 623-825-5595. Or they can email us at toothdocs@earthlink.net. So tooth, that's TOOTHDOCS at earthlink.net. Thank you.
Well, I really want to thank you for all of your insights and your expertise. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today, and best of luck to you in your practice.
Thank you very much, Dr. Melanie Lane.
You're welcome. To our listeners, thank you for being with us. If you'd like more information on living your best life, I invite you to visit my website at www.zingliving.com. Or you can call me at 623-242-8809. Be sure to look for my upcoming ebook on creating your healthy living plan entitled Keeping the Boom in the Boomer. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Keeping the Boom in Boomer with Dr. Melanie Lane. Keeping the Boom in Boomer is a Boomer and the Babe Enterprises radio production. Contact them at boomerandthebabe.com.